who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily, he lay hold not of the nature of angels, but he lay hold of the seed of Abraham. Wherefore, in all things they behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, so that he might be merciful and a faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself has suffered in death and did, he is able to help them that are tempted. Only in the gospel second song.
Shall be called the Son of God, and behold, thy kinswoman Elizabeth, shall she have also conceived, and a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month which her, who was called barren, for with God no word shall be impossible. And Mary said, behold, the handmaiden of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her.
Shadow-shrouded world of the Son of Righteousness. He, reversing the moment of time and history, turned the descent towards death into the ascent towards the unchanging springtime of eternity. The root and the principle of all other feasts of the Lord, by which each year we commemorate our redemption, the Feast of Annunciation, must always be celebrated strictly in the same day, because according to the ancient tradition, it was in the month of March that the world was created by God, and it was precisely the 25th March that Adam, beguiled by the serpent's promise and wishing to make himself God, transgressed the divine commandment and was driven out of paradise. It is also said that this was the month in which the Jews left Egypt and crossed the Red Sea by the dry shod, that our Lord Jesus Christ raised the dead on the 25th of March, and thus the general resurrection and the last judgment would also take place on the same day. It was therefore fitting that the healing of our nature be accomplished like the second creation, by the same means and on the same day as those of our fall. And as mankind was subject to death by Eve's disobedience in the springtime of the world, it was fitting that the mankind be delivered in the month of March by the obedience of the Virgin. Even as the former was seduced so that she disobeyed God, even so the latter let herself be persuaded to obey God, so that the Virgin Mary becomes the advocate for the Virgin Eve. The human race, having been made subject to death by a virgin, it was freed by a virgin, and disobedience of the one virgin being counterbalanced by the disobedience of the other. After the fall, God, exercising long suffering in his infinite mercy, and little by little prepared humanity from generation to generation through joyful and sorrowful events, for the realization of the great mystery that he had kept hidden before the ages in his Trinitarian counsels, the incarnation of the Word. Although he knew long beforehand what would be man's transgression and its tragic consequences, it was with the fulfillment of this mystery in view that he created humankind in order therein to prepare Mother, who by the beauty of her immaculate soul, enhanced by the adornment of all the virtues, drew on herself the gaze of the Almighty and became the nuptial chamber of the Word, the receptacle of Him who contains all things, the palace of the King of the heaven, and fulfilling the divine plan. when the Most Holy Virgin had lived in this, and served in the temple at Jerusalem for 11 years and was then 14 years old, that is, she was entering her 15th year, the priest informed her that according to the law, she could no longer remain in the temple but must be betrothed and married. But to the great surprise of the priest, the Most Holy Virgin replied that she had dedicated herself to God and wished to maintain or remain till death and not enter into wedlock with no one. Then by God's providence and under his inspiration, Zacharias, the high priest and the father of the forerunner, the Baptist, in consultation with the priest, chose 12 unmarried men from the tribe of David so that they might entrust the Virgin Mary to one of them to preserve her virginity and care for her. She was thus entrusted to Joseph, an old man from Nazareth and kinsman of hers. In his house, the Most Holy Virgin continued to live the same manner as in the Temple of Solomon, passing her time in the reading of the sacred scriptures and prayer, and pondering on the works of God, and fasting, and in handiwork. She secretly and scarcely ever left the house, nor took an interest in worldly matters or events. She generally conversed very little with anyone and never without particular need. She was intimate only with two daughters of Joseph. But when the time promised by the prophet David had come, and God was pleased to fulfill the promise made Adam when he drove him out of paradise and to the prophets, the mighty archangel Gabriel appeared in the chamber of the Most Holy Virgin at the precise moment, as some priestly writers have related, that she was holding open in her lap the book of the prophet Isaiah and pondering on this great prophecy, quote, "Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son," unquote. Gabriel appeared to her in angelic light and said to her, "Rejoice, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee," and so forth, just as related in the Gospel of divine Luke. With this angelic greeting and the descent of the Holy Spirit, the salvation of mankind and the renewal of creation were set in motion. The whole creation, formerly subjected to corruption by man's transgression, was also waiting on this yes by the Virgin, which proclaimed the beginning of its deliverance. This is why heaven and earth reunited form today an exalted choir together with the sons of Adam to glorify God and honor the conception of his unwedded mother. The archangel turned the first page of the story of the New Testament with the word rejoice, to show by this that the joy that the New Testament signifies for mankind and for all the things created, and therefore the Annunciation is looked upon as joyous as well as a great feast, the second Pascha. Amen.
Lord have mercy.
Again we pray for our brethren priests.
Spiro, deacons, monks, and all our brethren in Christ.
Lord have mercy, Lord have mercy, Lord have mercy.
Again we pray for mercy, life, peace, health, salvation, visitation, pardon, remission of the sins of all pious and Orthodox Christians, the founders, donors, and benefactors of this holy temple, and for the servants of God, Metropolitan Macarius and Protopresbyter Rodian Nicholas, Archbishop Peter, Priest Monk Theodore, and Lazarus, Abbess Seraphimus, and Reader Stephen, Presbyter Helen, Diaconus, Cotinian, Elizabeth, Chris, Vladimir, and Erasmus, Michael, and John, and Joseph, Sodom, George, Lawrence, Stephen, and John, and Mary, Demetra, Pilgrimus, and Cecilia Frugimus, Julian, Mariante, Rachel, Lucy, Helena, Xenia, Xenia, Catherine, Catherine, Christina, Despina, Stephanie, Olga, Martha, Sophia, Estania, Alexi, and for their health and recovery, and for the feast day of the servants of God, evangelists, and all who celebrate this holy feast.
Lord have mercy, Lord have mercy, Lord have mercy.
Again, though we weren't chastised because of our many sins, we plead to thee, for we put not our trust in weapons to save us, but we look to thee to protect this nation and to defend all Orthodox peoples from those that wage war against the faith of the Christians. Wherefore we entreat thee, have pity on our good, and have mercy on us.
Lord, have mercy, Lord, have mercy, Lord, have mercy.
Again, we pray for the blessed and memorable founders of this holy temple, and for all our fathers and brethren, come to the rest before us, and piously lay to rest for the pardon and remission of their sins.
Lord have mercy, Lord have mercy, Lord have mercy.
Again we pray for them that bear fruit to do good works in this holy and all venerable temple, for them that labor in the chant, for all the people here present, await thy great abundant mercy.
Lord have mercy. Lord have mercy.
Faithful for the catechumens, let us pray.
Lord have mercy.
That the Lord have mercy on them.
Lord have mercy.
That he catechize them with the word of truth.
Lord have mercy.
That he unite them to his holy Catholic and Apostolic Church.
Lord have mercy.
May them have mercy on them, help them and keep them, O God, by thy grace.
Amen.
Catechumens, bow your heads unto the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help us, save us, have mercy on us, and keep us, O God, by thy grace.
Amen.
Wisdom.
Let be guarded always under the dominion, which is an adoring tree, to the Father, to the Son, and to the Spirit, and ever in the ages of the
Amen.
Defense before the dread judgment seat of Christ, let us ask of the Lord.
Christ. and this, O Lord.
All these remembrances are all fully imagined in the glorious lady who has so profoundly buried with me. Blessings, let us commit ourselves and one another and all our life unto Christ our God.
I confess from baptism the remission of sins. I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of ages to come. Amen.
Let us stand well, let us stand with fear, let us attend that we may offer the holy oblation in peace.
A mercy of peace, a sacrifice of praise.
In the name.
both and for